So let me read this to you as well. It's there in John 11, 25 to 26. And we'll be thinking about this verse as well this morning. Jesus said to her, to the woman who he was speaking to at the time, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Let's pray and ask God to help us understand these verses. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you say you are the resurrection and the life. Jesus, bring life to us this morning, we pray. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to understand this Easter story. Help us see how relevant it is to us, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you recognize what this is. Anyone here had one of these? Who's ever eaten a Kinder Egg before? There we go. Quite a few people. Well, we have quite an international church, and let me keep holding it still. And one of the things that if you're new to the country, you might not have done is eaten a Kinder Egg. And I actually had one yesterday, and here's one I had before. And when you open it up, you you chew into it, and you get a bit of a surprise, don't you, everyone? And I would recommend doing it with caution. You end up with something like this in your mouth. You get a bit of chocolate, and then you get this mouthful of this plastic, and you think, what on earth is this? A bit of plastic. And actually, then you kind of think, well, it looks like it can open up, and you open it up, and usually you get some other surprise in there, which is often very silly, like here we've got a donkey, which I never quite understand. They say these things are for over 3-year-olds, and yet I can't imagine why anyone would want a donkey. But there you go. Kinder Eggs are full of surprises. Full of surprises. The Easter story is full of surprises. Things that you thought permanent aren't. And things that you thought seem nonsense are real. Are real. And the Easter story has this way of drawing you into it. And maybe you've been watching on TV the BBC's version of The Passion, where we've seen the story. And if you've been here on Sundays, you'll know how we've seen how Jesus, as we've gone through Luke's gospel, was betrayed. And then how he was taken before a number of trials on trumped up charges. And then he was abandoned by his followers, by his disciples, and finally taken to this cross, all of which he seemed to do as if he was in control of it all. He journeyed it with love and compassion and courage. And then he's there on the cross and he dies. And as we were looking at on Good Friday, he says, "It is finished." Not as if he's giving up, but as if he's crying in victory. It's accomplished. It's done. It's done. And then they take him and they lay him in a tomb. And we then pick up this Easter story at that point with this amazing discovery that the tomb is empty. And these angels who Sam read for us bring this amazing message, which simply says, "He is not here, he has risen." The Easter message, the message of the angels, is that Jesus Christ has risen. It's a bold claim. It's a radical claim. It's a claim that should in many ways bring us a kind of Easter dilemma, as it has for many. In fact, one of the things we sometimes do on Easter Sunday is go through the evidence for the resurrection. There's a little book here called The Case for Easter by a man called Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel, it says here on the back, was educated at Yale Law School, was the award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune, spiritual skeptic until 1981. And this is what he writes just at the front of this book. He says this: "I'd seen lots of dead people." He was obviously a legal editor for the Chicago Tribune, so murder cases and things like that. "I'd seen lots of dead people, and none of them had ever come back to life. Christians could spin fanciful tales of an empty tomb, but they could never change the grim, absolute finality of death." Then, he says, the unthinkable happened. My wife became a Christian. Maybe that's happened to you. I anticipated the worst, and yet in the ensuing months, I began to see winsome changes in her character and values. And when she attributed this transformation to God, I knew it was time to use my journalism and legal training to thoroughly investigate Christianity. The starting point seemed obvious to me. Clearly, the resurrection was the linchpin of the Christian faith. After all, anyone can claim to be the Son of God, but if someone could substantiate that assertion by returning to life after being certifiably dead and buried, well, that would be a compelling confirmation that he was telling the truth, even for a skeptic like me. And so he began his investigations. And if these questions, like, was Jesus really dead after his ordeal of the cross? Was his tomb actually empty on that Easter Sunday morning? And did credible people subsequently encounter him? If these questions have ever intrigued you, then join me, he says, in the following pages as I retrace and expand upon the journey that unexpectedly ended up shaking my spiritual cynicism to the core. The Easter story is not a myth. There is evidence, good evidence. If you doubt that, take the time to read this. I challenge you. Take the time to read it. We have a number of copies, and I'd love to give them to anyone who says, yeah, skeptic, that's me. I'd love to read it. Don't believe there's any evidence in it. Please, take it. But what I do not want to do is spend the whole service going through that evidence. Because what I think is that for many, actually, the problem isn't reason. The problem is not the evidence, because the evidence is there to be investigated. For many, the problem is not reason. The problem is relevance. Relevance. Is the Easter story, does that have any relevance to you and I here on 23rd of March, 2008? Has this story that we've just got read, is that worth me spending the time to investigate? Does that mean anything for me? Is there relevance? And that's where this verse, John 11, 25 and 26, speaks so powerfully, because Jesus says to her and to us, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Basically, do you trust him? You see, we're not this morning coming to meet and hear about something that just happened in history. We're coming to encounter a living person today. And he, I believe, will surprise you this morning. I hope he will. He'll surprise you at some point in your life because he's alive. And I hope that as he surprises some here this morning, you will actually think, I want to start a relationship with this Jesus, this living person. I do believe in him. And as you do that, I don't want to give you this blue book about the evidence. I want to give you this little red book. This little red book which talks about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, why Jesus? And it starts like this. It says, relationships are exciting. They are the most important aspect of our lives. And then it says this. Jesus Christ and Christianity is all about the most important relationship of all, our relationship with God who made us. So this morning, I hope, I pray, I believe that there will be some here who aren't just looking to reason it out, but are suddenly encountered by the relevancy of this person, Jesus Christ. So first then, is there any relevance to the Easter story? Finding the relevance of Easter. Our passage starts like this, verse 1. Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. The context for the Easter story is not aisle 14 Escos with lots of chocolate Easter eggs on it. It's a tomb. It's a tomb. In fact, one of the reasons I think most people struggle with Easter, struggle to see its relevance, is that when they do see something about Easter and they think about Easter, they think about things like this. This is a Easter cards that you can sometimes get. Nice little bunny rabbit. And nice little chick. Nice little flowers. Maybe a little garden. Maybe a church. Maybe even some songs. And you know what? As I think about my life, I don't need a chick. I don't need any more eggs. I don't need any more flowers. I like flowers, but I don't need any more chocolate in my life. Those things, as an adult, they're not really that relevant to my life. The things that I want to know in my life are the things about life and death. And so suddenly, when I see that the context for the Easter message is a tomb, that these people have gone to look for a dead man and found him alive, then suddenly this starts to be more relevant to me. We don't usually think about tombs, do we? We think about coffins and graveyards and cemeteries. That's how we all talk. And it's interesting that Nelson, in his talk, talked about how, was there anything more to life than earning and studying and working and living and eating, only to end up in a hole in the ground? He talked about the Alpha Course, where he discovered that there was more to life to this. And maybe this will just help you encounter something of the relevancy of the Easter story today. This is just the advert, just 2 minutes long, of the Alpha Course. So have a watch of this, and let's see if there's something relevant in this passage for us this morning in Easter. Is that going to be your life? Is death the end? Does it really actually not matter much what your house looks like and where you end up living and your home and your job? Because actually, for all of us here, the last thing and the last place we're going to be is in a coffin in the ground. Is that it? No! It's not it. And the Easter message comes directly in to that situation, that thinking, and says, death is not permanent. Death is not the end. There is life. There is life. There is life beyond the grave. You see, a better picture, really, than my chicks or my Easter eggs or my rabbit, the better picture for Easter is this stone rolled away from the tomb. Is this fact that death has been broken. That people, Jesus particularly, placed in a tomb or in a coffin or buried in the ground, didn't stay dead. He broke out of that. And so it wasn't just that a stone was rolled away, but think, if you like, think of a lid of a coffin being broken open. Broken open, because the one who was inside it conquered death, came out, and was standing and able to celebrate and meet with people. And this coffin didn't become the symbol of the end of our lives, but became the symbol of a gateway to potentially something even more wonderful. Is this the end of your life? Or actually, could this be the end of the beginning of a new and wonderful life? That is the relevancy of Easter. I'm going to drop this down before all the children come back, not because these things aren't relevant for them too, but because I think, how can we expect them to grapple with them if we don't first grapple with them as well? You know, we live our lives being entertained so we don't actually think about these kind of things. What would happen to you after your death? We all need to face death. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we ask people that question. It says that the wages of sin is death. That means your due reward for turning your back on God, like we've all done, is death. But then it says, but the free gift of God is eternal life. eternal life. How do we discover this eternal life? Well, by like these women who went to the tomb, we go looking for Jesus. We go looking for Jesus, and that's the next thing I want us to see. We go looking for Jesus, the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life, the one who conquered death. It's there in our passage. Jesus Christ, who conquers death. He is the one who has the victory. He is the one who is risen. Death couldn't hold him. The stone couldn't keep him back. In fact, a wonderful hymn I love is, low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. And then it says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. This is the last verse of it. Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose. The angels say he has risen. The tomb is empty. He's alive. He's unstoppable. And he will surprise you one day, because he's out there and in here. And alive. And in these next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how he encountered some different people in those early days after his death. But he'll encounter some people in this room. He'll encounter you. He'll come. Speak a word. In fact, all of us one day, we'll meet him face to face. We'll have to bow the knee before him. He will surprise you, this Jesus. He is alive. He is unstoppable. And as we look in this passage, we see something else. He points, the angels point them back. Look what he says. He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you. Remember how he told you. The angels point them back to his words and say, remember how he told you. He was going to die and he was going to rise to life. And it might have sounded crazy. It might have sounded like nonsense. But it was true. It was true, because every word that Jesus said was true. Death isn't permanent, but Jesus' words are permanent. They are lasting. They will always last. They are true. And so even as I talk and say, the skeptics get the evidence, and those of you who see, you encounter Jesus this morning, something you think about him and you think, yeah, I believe in him, and you say, yeah, I want to start a relationship with him. If you already have a relationship, you're not a skeptic, this is the book for you. Remember his words. Christian, I encourage you this Easter Sunday, meet with the risen Jesus through his word. Remember his words. He's faithful to him. And one of his amazing words is this verse we have here up on the screen. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Even though he dies, you'll live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Just finally then, do you believe this? Do you trust Jesus at his word? For that is what Jesus is asking us to do this morning. He's saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? The last thing I want us to see is, not just do we find whether Easter is relevant, not just do we find Jesus Christ, but do we find that we believe in him? Do we find that we can have eternal life? Because that's the promise of that verse that we've just seen. The promise of the verse is that, can we go back to it, Maria? The promise of the verse, if you look down on the second line, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? What does it mean to believe in anyone? Say, I say, we're moving to Clarendon next week. What does it mean for you to believe me? You'd take me at my word, wouldn't you? And you'd turn up at Clarendon next week. So to believe in Jesus is to take him at his word. That when he says he is the resurrection and the life, that he's alive, you take him at his word. You trust him. You trust him. And you say, okay, like Rayana's done, and Sil's done, and Nelson's done, you say, okay, I trust you, Jesus. I trust that you love me. I trust that you died for me. I trust you can forgive me. I trust you're alive, and I can have a relationship with you. I trust you, Jesus. And Jesus asks us this morning, do you trust him? A bit like in Aladdin. You might have seen Aladdin. And Aladdin is there, and if you know the film well, you remember the part where he first gets his flying carpet and comes to the princess. And he's there, as it were, on this flying carpet, and the princess can hardly believe it. And Aladdin reaches out his hand to the princess. The princess is on the balcony, the Aladdin's on this flying carpet. He reaches out his hand, and he simply says, what did he say? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me, he says. And she goes, yeah, and takes his hand. And as she takes his hand, he then shows her things she could never even have imagined. And Jesus comes to us this morning alive and, as it were, taps us on the shoulder and says, do you trust me? I want to show you things and wonders and eternal life you've never even imagined. Will you trust me? I hold the keys of death and life, he says. I can give you eternal life. Do you trust me? He says. I'm alive. I know you. I've seen you and watched you. I love you. Will you trust me with your life? Jesus says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And this morning, as I just end this talk, I want to come and say, do you believe this? And if you do, I plead with you, don't hold back. Do like what Nelson and Rihanna and Syl have done. And don't be afraid to say, yes, I believe it. I believe that I can't face death on my own. I need a savior. I need someone who's conquered death. And I'm going to put my trust in Jesus' words that he can give me life. In a moment, I'm going to read from the back of this little book about how you can start a relationship with Jesus Christ, how you can tell him you believe him. It's a little prayer that, in effect, just says, sorry, thank you, and please. And it goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done in my life. Please forgive me. Now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to pray this prayer now. We're just going to bow our heads, and I'm going to ask that if you believe in this Jesus, if you're not thinking this Easter thing is just a myth, or you're not concerned, you maybe have even heard the evidence before, but you think, yeah, I can see it. I can see it in the people as they worship. I know this Jesus is real and that I need him for life. Then as I pray this prayer again, pray it with me in your heart. Echo it. And as you do that, after you've done that, I'm going to ask with every head bowed if you'll raise your hand, and I'm going to get some people to come and give you this book. Okay? So bow our head and let's just spend time now speaking to Jesus. He's real. He's alive. He's here. Echo these words in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Maybe just take a few moments and just let him know those things which you're sorry for. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.